Chapter number 10 this morning, and I'll try to bring you a message on this thought, men touched by God. Now, Brother Caleb, am I on or off? I'm on. Brother Caleb sang that song, said, have you ever been touched by God? Boy, that's what we need, some dads that have been touched by God and know the Lord. And I want to read you three verses out of this chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 1. The Bible said, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? And then in verse number 9, he says, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those things came to pass that day. And then in verse 26, the Bible says, and Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the day. Thank you for your blessings. And God, I want to thank you for just being God. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving us when we were not worthy. And God, I want to thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins that we could be saved. Now, Lord, I pray if there's one here today lost and without God, I pray that you'd save them. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage a Christian. God, strengthen them, help them. And Lord, I pray, God, that your name would be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. And we'll be careful to praise you and thank you, for we pray and ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Oh, Samuel has anointed Saul king. And I believe these verses that we've looked at will help us to see what kind of men God wants us to be as men that are leaders in our family and leaders in our church and just doing the will of God every day for our life. And we find that Saul was first anointed to be captain over his inheritance. And do you know what God made you and I, my dear dad? When we got married, after we were saved, God made us captain over our family. And we're to take them to church, and we're to lead them and by example live before them and help them be what God wants them to be. But you can't do it in the natural flesh. You can't do it just on your own. A lot of smart men in our day in which we live, but it's not by intellect that we operate. It's by the power and Spirit of God. We see in verse number 9 that God said this about Saul. He said he gave him another heart. Well, I'm glad when God touched you and I and saved us, Brother Derek, God gave us another heart. Son, he took that old natural heart out, that heart that was filled with sin and foul and the devil, and God put a new heart in that is one that would want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to show you some things this morning. I believe that if we're really been touched by God, what kind of man God would have us to be. First of all, I believe that we will be men who will be sure of our salvation. But I'm glad I don't have to guess and hold on and hold out and hope so and work for. I'm glad I can know that I'm saved and born again. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 19, he said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and that everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But I'm glad God knows how to save a soul today, aren't you? I mean, if they were to come to me and say, preacher, can you save this old wretched soul? I'd have to say, I'm sorry to report to you, I cannot save that soul. But I'm glad I can point you to the one who can. I'm glad I know that the Lord Jesus Christ can save and make a difference in a man's heart. And once a man genuinely gets saved and born again, he'll never guess, he'll never wonder, he'll know, my dear friend, that he's been saved by the grace of God. Paul said to young Timothy there that we've been sealed. I mentioned this, I believe, Wednesday night, but when a fella gets saved and God seals us, I mean, the world will turn us upside down. The world will shake us like you'd shake a cocoa and spew it everywhere when you open it. I mean, they'll turn us every way but loose. But I'm saying they can turn, they can kick, they can walk, they can stomp. They'll do all they want, but they'll never take away our blessed salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. God said we're sealed. And boy, I'm glad I know that the devil cannot take away my salvation. Oh, he might steal my joy. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 85. That's why I needed revival. He said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation, that thy people may rejoice again in thee. But I'm just saying, the old devil can't steal your salvation once you got it. Once you got it, once you're saved, listen, that song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. But I'm glad we can have blessed assurance this morning. I'm glad we can know we're saved and born again. My dear friend, I believe a man that's saved and born again, he'll know it. Not only will he know it, but he'll want to show it. I believe he'll want to give it to those that are around him. He'll want to share it. Let me read you what God said in John chapter 3 and verse 14 through 18. He said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:36, he said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. But God makes it plain that you can know that you're saved and born again. You don't have to wonder. He said, he that believeth not is condemned already. Well, I'm glad there was a day when I believed. I'm glad there was a day, and you ought to be glad there was a day when you believed on the precious Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, listen, it's not Buddha or anybody else, it's Jesus Christ. He's the only way. And I'm afeard that our government is allowing these other false religions come in and teach their trash, and they're trying to stifle out the truth that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I had time. I got a book in my office. I'd invite every one of you to go buy you a copy. It talks about, it gives quotes from men. I'm talking about from the very earliest history of our nation, what they've said about this nation and God. And boy, if we ever kick God out, we're in trouble. The Bible said the nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. I mean, that's Bible. That's not my theory. That's not my thinking. That's God's word. But I'm glad a real man can know he's saved. I mean, you don't have to guess and wonder. I used to think before I got saved, I thought, man, Christians, they're wimps. I mean, what? You know, why did anybody want to go to church? I just didn't grow up in church. I didn't go to church. And boy, I had my own theory of what Christians were based on what I've heard my dad say growing up. But I'm glad God moved in. And boy, he showed me that a real Christian is a real man. Anybody can follow the world. Anybody can entertain the world. Anybody can mock the world. Anybody can be what they are. But you stand for Jesus. You go to your workplace and pull your Bible out of your lunch bucket. I mean, before you pull it out there, stand around and talk. They'll tell all kind of dirty stuff. They'll do that. But you pull your Bible out and just start reading it. Get on your knee before you eat your sandwich that your sweet wife fixed for you. And you call out unto God and thank him for that meal. You'll look up. They won't be many around you.
That's right.
They won't like that. Hey, it takes a real man to live for God. And boy, we need some men this morning that just know they're saved. How about know you're born again? Know that you're sure of your salvation. Hey, real men, godly fathers, not only are they sure of their salvation, but they're sound in spiritual matters. Psalm 119, verse 80, the Bible said, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Spiritual matters. This afternoon, tonight, fathers, that's not a time to take a break. Tell your children, we're going back to the house of God tonight. Man, we're saved. God birthed us into the family. Look what God did for us. Now's the time we need to be going to the house of God and letting God know we appreciate him. Sound in spiritual matters. I heard a preacher preaching on the radio the other day, and he said, much like I've said here before, after we got saved, God didn't take a vote and see if we was going to, Daddy didn't take a vote and see if we was going to go to church or not. We just went. I mean, we better be dying or dead when he got back to the house if we stayed home too. I mean, one of the worst whippings I got wasn't cause of church, it's cause I played sick and I didn't want to go to school. I was a little bitty fella. I told daddy, I told mom I was sick. She said, when daddy gets home, I let him take you to the doctor. I said, oh. So he took me to the doctor, and Dr. Lamb, he was one of them no-nonsense doctors. He said, ain't nothing wrong with this boy. Well, they was when I got home. I mean, son, he tore me every way but loose. But I'm just saying, daddies, be mature in spiritual matters. Know what's right and wrong and lead your family that away. Hey, the Bible said in Ephesians 4:14 that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sly men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The devil's out there trying to deceive you and make you think there's something better than an old-fashioned fundamental independent Baptist church to take your kids to. So you won't find the truth everywhere this day, I promise you. You won't find the truth bled out in every church across America this morning. There's a lot of churches in America this morning. They're preaching everything. But the truth, they're not giving us the truth this morning. But I'm glad you can come to churches like this and you'll get the truth. Boy, we need men this morning that are strong in spiritual matters, sound in spiritual matters. He said in Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he might be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gangs there. And this crowd running around trying to tell us that there's a better way, there's a different way to salvation. There's not but one way to salvation. Amen. Not but one. I don't care what Dr. Doolittle says in these big churches across. If he don't tell you that you can only get saved by the good grace of God through the shed blood of Christ, he's a liar. I guarantee you. It's only one way. I mean, if this needs some men that are sound in spiritual matters. And when your kids say, Daddy, can we go somewhere? And if it's not a fit place to go, stand up. Tell them, no, you can't go. Sound in spiritual matters. God didn't call us to be friends with our young ones. God called us to raise them. Now, if they have to like what I say, good. If they don't like it, they'll get over it. My dad used to tell us, he said, I got a simple rule. As long as you eat my food, sleep in my bed, you do what I say. Anything outside that, you own your own. And you know what I found out? The older I got as a young kid growing up, the smarter my dad became. Right. I used to think he didn't know nothing. Right. Didn't know friend, didn't know nothing. That's not right English. He didn't know anything. But I found out he's a smart brother, Roger. So my old dad kept me out of a lot of trouble. A lot of heartache. And why? Because he was sound and spiritual matters. I mean, listen, Dad used to even tell us, maybe an evangelist would come through town, Brother Holyfield, anywhere close. But evangelist, like for me, meeting you this morning for the first time, evangelist come through and I'd say, Dad, hey, there's an evangelist, well, let's go hear him. Well, son, I know about him. We're not going to hear him. But everybody else is. We're not everybody else. I could name you some TV preachers that America is falling hell over heels for. And they're as far from the truth and the word of God as ever. You better listen to your preacher. You better listen to your old fashioned daddy that still is sound in doctrine. Knows the truth. Listen to what they have to say. Hey, sound in spiritual matters. Hey, little girls, you find that boy you think you're so in love with. And you think, boy, he's the one for me. Talk to your daddy first. Talk to your daddy. Your daddy knows what to look for in an old fella because he's one himself. He knows the guidelines. My wife told me, and I've told you this before, but she told me, she said, if my dad had told me I couldn't marry you, I wouldn't have married you. There ain't not many parents like that. There are not many kids like that. I overheard her in her sleep the other night. She said, oh, Dad, why'd you tell me I could marry him? She's got me. But I'm talking about just sound and spiritual matters. Kids, listen to your mama. They know what's right. They know what's best for us. Sound in spiritual matters. Hey, listen, not only are they sound in spiritual matters and sure of their salvation, but they're secure in self. Job 11:18, the Bible says, and thou shalt be secure because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Well, you know what I'm seeing today? Everybody wants to be like everybody else. Just be happy in who you are. Be happy that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I don't want to be like everybody else. Now, there's some good men even in this world that I like and I hold and I esteem dearly, but I can't be like them. I got to be me. Just be yourself. Don't try to be like somebody down the road. Don't try to be, hey, listen, that's what gets a lot of marriages in trouble. Oh, boy, he treats his wife. You just, all you see is what you see. You don't see everything. Husbands and wives, we don't see it all. They might look like everything's all right on the outside. But boy, when they get home, it could be different. Just be happy who you are. Don't worry about wanting to be somebody else. Be content where God's put you and who you are. God tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I can't be somebody else. I'm just thrilled that I am who I am. I may forget names. I may forget faces. I was trying to tell Brother Glenn this morning, some of my preacher buddies in Mississippi, and I couldn't think of Brother David Barnett's last name for nothing in the world. I said, Brother David, Brother David. And I know he must thought that dude don't know anybody in Mississippi. But Brother David Barnett, he's a good brother. But I'm just saying, be content in who you are. I'm sure Brother Glenn don't preach like me and I don't preach like him. I mean, we're all different. But be happy where God put you. I mean, be secure in yourself. And of course, you can only be secure in self when you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Don't try to be like anybody. Don't mock anybody else. Just be content with who you are. Hey, they're secure in self. Hey, Peter, man, he was. Daniel was. Son, Daniel, they said to him, Daniel, now you know you can't worship your God. You know you got to fall down and cried unto Baal and worship him. What you going to do about it? Well, I believe I'll just go pray about it. That's what he did. And when they tell you you can't pray, you just tell them, I'm going to pray about that. When they tell you you can't read your Bible, you just tell them, well, I'll go see what the Word of God has to say about that. Just be content in who you are. I mean, be happy where God's put you and where he's placed you. I was telling Brother Caleb yesterday, coming back from the zoo over there. I said, boy, I'm glad where God put me. And I hope y'all don't get tired of me no time soon. Really, I mean. Boy, they wasn't amen in the crowd on that. Well, I resign. I'll turn in my notice tonight. April Fool. I'm not a turning in nothing. If you run me off, I'll just change my name, pretend like I'm a new preacher. I'm telling you. But just be content where God. But I told Brother Caleb, I said, boy, I'm glad where God put me. I really am. And I like the spirit that's in the church. I told Brother Ben coming up the road a while ago when I picked them up, I said, you know, when I first moved here, I said, hey, mountain folks are different. Well, southern people are different. California people are different. I found out people are different anywhere you go. They're all different. But just be yourself. Be who you are in Christ. But I'm telling you, so we got one of the best opportunities in the world right here in the mountains to evangelize this world. And I appreciate the effort and the push that we try to put forth in this area. But listen, I'm not the fella down the road. I just got to be me. Well, anyway, let me give you this, and we'll be through. their steadfast and their survival. Well, I'll tell you what, we're living in a day where it's a battle. Now, I know the devil's always fought. I mean, listen, the devil, when God created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden, the devil fought them. And the devil's been fighting us ever since. But I believe with all my heart, I believe that this generation has more opposition than they've ever had. I believe that. But may I quickly hasten to say that we still got a God that's bigger than the devil. God said, greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. Now I don't care how much the devil throws. I don't care how hard he fights. I don't care how hard he battles. God is still greater than the devil. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The devil's going to fight us. No, Paul later wrote, he said, what shall separate us from the love of God? Persecution, tribulation, all these things he lists in that chapter. Ain't nothing going to separate you from that. Be steadfast. Be secure in your survival. We come down Mulberry and I showed Brother Glenn, Sister Kay, that big old house they're building down there. And I said, that's the new parsonage if the church abides. But I told him, I said, but that is nothing compared to what we got in glory. Son, yeah. We got a mansion waiting on us in glory. The Lord shined that place up there. Son, yeah. We got a mansion in glory that'll never get cobwebs in the corner. Never. Right. Dust won't build up in the corner. You won't have to hire a maid. It'll be clean. I believe if I'm in heaven, now this is Carlisle theology, this is not God's word, this is just my thinking. But if I go into my mansion and he says I got one, so that must mean I can go in it. And if I go in it and I do like I do at my house and I just throw shoes here and shirts there and pants there, I believe if I do that in glory, they'll automatically go to our heavenly closet. Whoop. I may be wrong on that. But if you can come up with a better idea, let me know. But I'm just secure in my survival. I know where I'm going. Right. Right. Heaven is my home. Yeah. And old Saul was anointed king. And God gave him a new heart. And then the Bible said he went back home. And he took a little band of men with him whose heart God had touched. I want to ask you some more. Has God touched your heart? I'm talking about, do you know Christ is your Savior? Do you know that heaven's your home? Do you know that one day you'll be with Him? If you don't know it, I invite you to come this morning. Let God touch your heart. Let God help you. He'll save you. He said there in those verses we read in John, he says, people, if they die without God, he said, they're condemned because of unbelief. It's not because of nasty, rotten sins they've committed. It's the sin of unbelief that'll send a man to hell every time. Not trusting God as his Lord and Savior. But if you'll come this morning and trust him, heaven will be your home. Jesus, my dear friend, will put you where you need to be. And he'll make you the man or the woman or the child that you ought to be for God. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, so much for loving us. Thank you, God, for giving us this opportunity to be in the house of God again today. I pray, Father, that you would speak to that heart that is lost and without Christ. God, they've just refused, and God, they've not moved, and Lord, they've put off, and I pray, God, that this would be the day that they would say yes to Jesus. I pray, God, this would be the day that they would let it be known that they want Christ as their Lord and Savior. God, for that Christian that's entertaining the thought of leaving and getting out of the will of God and just not serving God anymore, I pray, God, you'd bring them back to the fold this morning. I pray, God, you'd encourage our hearts. Touch them, God. Give us all, Lord, that fresh touch from heaven that we need this morning. And God, we'll be careful to praise you and thank you for what you do. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Brother Shane,